on, everybody? It's your buddy, it's your pal, Spaz Phoenix, the YWC Reality Check-In. You know the deal. You don't see my pretty, sexy face, so you know I'm not alone. Now, we do have Jake, but we're not talking about NXT.
What?
NXT guys are tackling the main roster. We got Survivor Series coming up this Sunday. It's going to be a hell of a show. Not going to lie, though. I'm a little deflated talking about this after all the NXT announcements we got last night.
Yeah, last night was far superb than what we're used to recently. So I was super excited to get just one action-packed moment after another.
I'm not going to lie. Survivor Series, War Games, it's all happening. We get TLC towards the end of the year. I know AEW's doing their rip-off Lame of Thrones thing on the 2nd. It's fine. We're going to talk about Survivor Series, but... as I said it to you, and I said it in my NXT review as well. We are going to talk about Survivor Series, but I'm really just using Survivor Series as an excuse to talk about what's going on in the main roster, because I don't talk about the main roster very often on this show. I leave that to psychopaths like yourself and Joe.
Yeah, we're trained professionals, so we have to go to counseling several times a week to handle it, but we do it for the love of the fans.
I don't know how you guys review Raw every week. SmackDown's getting good, and I know on the Wednesday nights you're stuck reviewing the B show, so my condolences for that. I don't know, man. There's so much crap to deal with on the main roster. I can't even. It's not so much the bad people doing bad shit. It's the people that you look at them and I used to love you once. What did they do to you? Keith Lee, what did they do to you, man?
And that's why I'm so worried about Rhea Ripley.
Oh,
that's why I said the other day
I'm
worried
it.
About Alexa.
Don't.
Because she feels like just a giggling sidekick at some points, and I'm afraid that that's all she's going to become. You know, Joe didn't kind of grasp that one, but WWE's track record is just so terrible with fan favorites that I have no goodwill left, really. That's what it comes down to. It's hard to have any faith with them.
And see, I see what you're saying, because we've seen them take a misstep with The Fiend before. I think they're on point with The Fiend right now. I think Alexa Bliss is a big part of that. Alexa Bliss is one of the exceptions, though, because I think Alexa Bliss is one of the opportunities NXT missed out on and wasn't maximized until she got to the main roster.
There's so many times they have those moments where someone is white hot, comes back with a head full of steam, tons of momentum, not even necessarily comes back, but, you know, that's the first example that comes to mind. Seth Rollins gets injured with his knee when he's champion, relinquishes the belt, comes back, and they make him a heel. And then they wait a few weeks, almost like 2 months, to turn him face. And at that point, you know, he's lashed out and attacked the fans so many times that no one cared that he was back. You know, at first, everyone's cheering his name, and there's a ovation like you wouldn't believe for Rollins. And then when he's like, oh, I didn't do it for the fans, and he's crapping on people because he's supposed to stay a heel because their foresight sucks. Someone should have called an audible, you know, when Daniel Bryan's on top of the world, when Rusev had Rusev Day. You know, there's so many times and points when Finn Balor came back from injury. He was
Jake,
on top.
Jake, I got to stop you, buddy. I got to correct you. Because we don't have to worry about Rusev anymore. Didn't you hear? Rusev was saved by AEW.
Rusev is gone and buried, and Miro is now fairy hopping his way to the ring in peace and contention. And he couldn't be happier to be a Twitch gaming hero to the fans.
Oh, Jesus goddamn Christ. But no, I will, like, this is where it gets kind of dicey for me, because I'm going to say the unpopular stuff, because 99.99999% of the time you are absolutely right. The trajectory for an NXT call-up is absolutely, like, you know, from the apex to the toilet. But there is a small collection of people on the main roster, and I am loath to give the main roster credit, as you're well aware.
Yes, but they have done some things right.
But there are a couple missed opportunities in NXT that were sort of salvaged on the main roster. Baron Corbin found his feet on the main roster. We don't like Braun Strowman, but he was one of the rosebuds in NXT.
Drew was not in NXT long. Especially because he was injured when, you know, getting the title. But
they did still treat him like a star, though, for the brief time that he was there.
And his transformation was quite well. I mean, he's always been, even if he wasn't in the best stories, he was always revered as a top guy. at least top mid card. Now he's obviously top upper echelon, but
yeah. As most people know, you and I have started our series looking at particularly the women's division of NXT, which is absolutely on fucking fire right now. But what I will say is not everybody's going to backstep like Charlotte. So anybody that I'm a fan of that didn't get a chance to go for that gold, Alexa Bliss, Ruby Riott, Sonya Deville, Nikki Cross, I consider those missed opportunities by NXT because they were mid-carders in their particular time, or they were there while somebody was having a really long run. But, I mean, Alexa Bliss found herself on the main roster. On NXT, She was managing Blake and Murphy, who were a charisma vacuum.
They really were. We've said that several times before. So
now, I do want to say, now that we've sort of burst in on this topic first, I do want to make a little bit of a notice of the people not on this show for a Big Four WWE pay-per-view, for the acts that are taking up Raw and SmackDown, etc. There's no Fiend, there's no Bliss, there's no Nikki Cross, which is kind of tied into the Bliss thing, and there's no Retribution, which means
Retribution
at least
is the biggest one to me, because you figure the match they had on Raw between Retribution and the Hurt Business, they could have saved for the pay-per-view and done an actual, you know, elimination match that way. I know Bobby Lashley's already taken up, but they could have done 3-on-3 still and had a better match than what we got on Raw, so
I'm actually more interested to see the artist formerly known as Mia Yim actually get a match.
That's what I'm waiting for as well. I mean, it seems like she's got something in the works with her, you know, threatening Asuka and attacking people in the back, taking out Dana Brooke.
I don't know, just
I'm surprised that she wasn't put on Team Raw. That was another kind of blunder. Since she took out somebody on Team Raw, you figure they would have, you know, allowed her to be the replacement, but
yeah, well, we're going to get to the makeup of the women's teams in a second, because that's a whole other shit show. But they're doing to her what they did with Nikki Cross in Sanity. It's like, here's these guys that wrestle, and they brought their chick friend with them. And that was as much as I like NXT, that was a huge misstep by NXT, and we're seeing the same kind of mistake being done. I mean, Retribution, it is a mess anyway, but I'm more interested in Mia Yim than I am in Dominik Dijakovic or Dio Madden or what's his name? Shane Thorne.
And the issue is, too, is on Monday they had Keith Lee and, you know, Dijakovic in the ring at the same time, but they didn't do anything with it. They didn't continue that story, because that's supposedly the reason why he joined Retribution. And then the next day they take over the Twitter account and continue to each tell their motivations for joining, and they lay it out clear as day that that's why he's there, by his back being turned on by Keith Lee and NXT. So.
And I mean, for the people that like being weird about stuff like that, oh my god, look, it's Keith Lee and his girlfriend is on the other side. Like, they're not going to do anything with that, but it is still funny to mention. I do want to see...
That's okay, because that's something behind the scenes, though. This is a storyline going on currently. And they're saying,
that's true.
You're the reason why I am not, you know, where I was, and I am now forced to join Retribution. They laid that out and blamed Triple H, and, you know,
Jesus.
It's like, so something should have been done with that better.
That's because Dijakovic had the personality of drywall.
Yeah, they really didn't have any reason to throw him in there, so the most they could say is like, oh, Cross destroyed me, and you didn't help save me, so
I wouldn't mind just randomly them throwing in another round of Mustafa Ali versus what's his name, Ricochet, on this show. Just like if they need something for a filler, because those guys are killing it. Mustafa Ali, see, this is the thing: as the Retribution gimmick goes on, like, it's goofy, but Mustafa Ali leading it doesn't come off goofy. So I have to give them a little bit of credit on that one.
Yeah, and Ali's always been top-notch, too, to go back a little bit on what you were saying. He's always been charismatic and somebody that I could see really flourishing if they gave him the right story. He's just been marred with bad luck, as in every time something's about to happen, he either gets injured or something occurs that he loses that push. So,
yeah, I'd love to see something for him. Shane Thorne was another one that on NXT I don't think they did anything with, but I'm like, when they broke up the Mighty, when his partner went back home to, you know, do family stuff and whatever, like, his tag team was the Mighty, and I said for weeks and weeks and weeks, I'm like, why don't they just rechristen him the Mighty Shane Thorne?
Yeah, that would have worked great when you brought that up, and I don't know why they didn't go with it.
I don't know. Retribution is like, whether you like it or not, it's one of the biggest things happening on Raw. I guarantee you they come out at some point and be like, well, we beat Team Raw on Raw, so we should be Team Raw or some shit like that. No Fiend.
Now, that would have been interesting to have a stipulation for that match to see who goes to Survivor Series to you know, defend Raw. And then why would Retribution fight for that? They hate Raw. They want to destroy it. Well, then they just, you know, volunteer to not fight in the match. So they basically, you know, like something could have been done with a cool
story.
Okay,
you can't dive too deeply on that one, because if they hate Raw so much, why did they ask for contracts? Like,
yeah,
there's a big, long rabbit hole you can go down on that one.
They tried to explain that, and they didn't do a terrible job, but I don't want to misquote and mar it all up here, but they basically had said that it was a way for them to get in the inside and get what they needed access
to.
I
have to kill the machine from inside.
Because
I used to be a hacker, but that was in my blue days.
this you know, guarantees them payment and other things. And
I don't know. It's so bad. And the way that they, like, Mustafa Ali is trying to do this really interesting sort of metaphor about racism and how he's been mistreated, but then to turn that into, I gave these people Halloween costumes and really fucked up nicknames, that's not a good representation if you're trying to tackle the topic of racism. That's
really, it's potentially terrible. I like the idea of like, in theory.
Oh, there's definitely an idea there.
Yeah, you know, you're now going to feel the torment that I went through because people couldn't pronounce my name and say it properly or refuse to. So I'm going to give you all ridiculous names, and I wore a mask, so now I'm going to put you behind a mask so you could feel the humiliation that I was forced to endure. I like that.
It's frustrating when you see, we were talking before we came on air about movies that we like and don't like, and some of them that were really good ideas but didn't pan out very well. I'm sure that idea sounded great on paper. I really am. And the way he delivers it in a believable way, I don't think it's hitting the way they want it to. I did want to say, talking about The Fiend and Alexa Bliss being not there, have you heard one of the potential rumors for WrestleMania?
Absolutely. You know, that's one of the things to be discussed and out of nowhere that everyone keeps bringing my way is The Undertaker wants to work with The Fiend. That's been said over and over again.
Oh, that's not the one. No. That's not the one I'm talking about.
Oh, what's your...
The proposed, depending on what Randy Orton is doing at WrestleMania.
Instead of it being Edge and Orton, it would be Edge and The Fiend.
No, it's going to be... From what I've heard, my source is What Culture, and even they referenced it as a rumor. Apparently, they're trying to work out The Fiend and Alexa Bliss versus Edge and Beth Phoenix.
Yeah, because they would incorporate something to do with her, and I think that'd be great. Another mixed tag?
I think, you know what?
A couple of those work out quite well.
Because
so.
You know what? As much as I like Alexa Bliss, nobody's going to say that she's the best wrestler on that roster. If there's anybody with the history behind them that can make her look like $1 million, somebody like Beth Phoenix could. And, I mean, she's not a full-time wrestler. She goes into that match with nothing to lose by making somebody else look good.
Yeah.
I think it's got a great potential, but I think Nikki Cross would fall into the mix there somewhere too, and it might get a little bit messy.
I hope not. I hope they can keep her away from it. Just handle that storyline now, be done with it, and then move on.
I want something for Nikki Cross. I really do.
Yeah, I want her to get some type of either, you know...
They've brought her so close to a title so many times. Like, when she was feuding... When it was Nikki Cross versus Bayley and Sasha Banks. I mean, obviously, Bayley and Sasha Banks are untouchable. But, like, she got close, like, with the bullying from Bayley. And they've brought her that close, and they kind of brought her that close in NXT, but it was during, like, the big Asuka tirade, and nobody was touching anybody at that particular point. But I hope they do something with all of them. We do have a couple injuries to talk about, and we're going to do that by sort of getting into the first match I've got on here. I sent you the notes, so hopefully we're in tandem here. The women's 5-on-5. Now, For transparency's sake, I know we have to do this time travel thing a lot. This is going to be going out after SmackDown on Friday. I'm telling you guys right now, Jake and I are previewing this on Thursday. So we don't know what's about to happen on SmackDown. So everything we're about to talk about as far as SmackDown, we will be proven wrong or right by the time you're hearing us talk. This is
We still don't know who the final two spots on the women's side for SmackDown is going to be. So
now there's a lot of things to talk about on both sides. I want to take a look at the Raw side for a second. Co-captains Baszler and Jax. I still can't
tag team champions.
I still can't stand Nia Jax. I still think Baszler should be doing much better things, but there is something about them as a team that works.
Knowing that Becky was leaving kills me even more that Baszler didn't beat her at Mania.
Oh yeah, of course. Of course. I mean,
if
like
Becky was trying or planning to get pregnant, I wish she said something to creative and was like, "All right, let her beat me." And you could have had her go on a tear, because just handing the belt to Asuka felt pointless and so undeserved.
I mean, she offered the title up to whoever legitimately won the Money in the Bank, so it wasn't completely a handout, but I do get what you mean.
It wasn't, but it really felt that way. That's how it came across when that moment happened.
Well, think about it like this. She won the Money in the Bank, and Becky said, "Well, I'm going to let you cash in right now. I can't wrestle. I forfeit. Here's the title."
Yeah, they were stuck between a rock and a hard place.
Yeah.
I get that. Like, it's the best of what they could have come up with. It's just still not a satisfying way to have her get the belt finally.
Speaking of,
there was no cash in. There was no.
Speaking of Shield members having babies, awkward transition is awkward. Renee Paquette and Jon Moxley.
Yeah,
having a kid. That's fucking awesome. That's good shit.
Him blurting it out on AEW was...
I got a lot of things going on right now. My body's hurting. I'm about to have a baby. I got a title match coming up. Even commentary was like, well, he really buried the lead on that one.
Yeah, he just came out with it.
So by the end of 2021, all the Shield members will have kids. That's a thing, even though the Shield's not a thing. Anyways, Baszler Jax. We got Lacey Evans and Peyton Royce that were brought in at the very last minute to fill in for Rose and Dana, who were injured on Raw, which was, I don't know. Apparently one of them is actually injured and one of them is kayfabe so that they can keep the tag team together.
Mandy Rose is legit injured. She hurt her shoulder when she was thrown out of the ring by Nia. It's not 100% Nia's fault. People, you know, have gone both ways. A lot of people blame her entirely. Joe says it's no fault. I say it's like 50-50, just because it's not just her track record that stands behind, but you can see the way she threw her out of the ropes. It was such so much momentum and such a heavy force that she went flying faster than expected. But Mandy also, being green herself, didn't know how to land properly, or she got tangled up in the ropes, especially with her feet. So it was like a combination of her not knowing how to land and being thrown too hard. So her shoulder's injured, and because of that and that fact that she's tied to Dana Brooke being a tag team, they wanted to keep Dana off TV.
So you got Baszler and Jax on here, that's a thrown together tag team. You've got Lacey
Lana.
Evans. We're going to get to Lana, trust me. But you got Lacey Evans and Peyton Royce, which just makes me divert for a second. We broke up the Iconics to stick Peyton Royce, who's the better wrestler out of the two, with another tag team partner. And look at that. They're crazy. They don't get along.
Yep. You got the odd couple yet again. Every freaking tag team has to start off that way, it seems lately, you know?
I don't want to see Royce as a tag team wrestler anymore.
No,
like,
I don't either.
I don't mind Lacey, because I don't mind them throwing Lacey in a tag team for something to do, because she's better than people give her credit for, but I don't care about that character, so they can pretty much, not to be a derogatory, but she's kind of disposable to me as a fan. But don't do it with Royce, because Royce actually has some character and some chutzpah and whatever, and I'd like to see her actually achieve something.
Yeah, but I like Lacey a lot too. I'm a fan of hers, and I don't want to see her be shoehorned into a tag team either. Yeah. And especially Peyton goes ahead, tweets out, "I'll never be in another tag team, and this is, you know, they're bringing up the Iconics. I'll be a single star." And then there's Vince laughing. So,
God damn it, Vince hates women and hates tag team wrestling, but apparently he loves women's tag team wrestling. Now, gotta talk about the big blonde elephant in the room. Let's talk about the intrinsic relationship between Lana and that goddamn announce table.
It's a match made in heaven. She just loves wood, I'm telling you.
Jake, this shouldn't be as funny as it is. But it is.
It shouldn't be, and it's a weird highlight on Raw, but I think it's simply because everything's so bad that it's so bad it's good, but...
No, but it is getting to that point now where, like, Nia Jax looks down at Lana and looks at the table, and the crowd is kind of into it. Like, even if it's sort of, like, on a morbid level, it's like, okay, cool. Do you remember... I don't remember whether it was the Raw 30th anniversary or the Raw 25th anniversary. Do you remember when Heath Slater kept on calling out the legends?
Yes, I was there for one of them when he called out and Vader came out.
Okay, but when he just kept on calling out legends and he kept on getting his ass handed to him and he kept on calling out the legends and he kept on getting his ass handed to him, and then
him and Lita.
And then on the actual night, it was like him versus Lita. It was like redhead on redhead violence that we need to stop. But like all the legends just came and destroyed him. But it doesn't mean that we don't like Heath Slater. It's just it's fucking funny.
Yeah, it was amusing. Plus, he was also in the position that it worked for him, because it wasn't going to hurt his character. And it also was good for him, because it gave him more TV time and something to do. He wasn't just not featured or only on main event.
But here,
where when they brought FTR in to get destroyed by the NWO DX reunion, at whatever Raw old school reunion, 25, 30, whatever it was at that point.
Oh, where they did it in the two different buildings.
Yeah, and they completely destroyed the Revival. Yeah, that, you know, that was poor choice. As you know, that's the other end of the coin when it doesn't work.
I don't know. Everybody that I like was on the other side, so I'm kind of biased on that one. I mean, I didn't like the Revival, but...
Yeah, they just deserve better.
But here's my point, right? And here's where we get into the politics of wrestling. And I'm going to try and keep this light, because there's a whole lot of heavy politics in wrestling that I don't want to touch tonight. But here's the thing. Lana has been in shitty storylines and gotten her ass handed to her every time she's trying to wrestle for as long as she's been in the WWE.
Every storyline leads to her being embarrassed somehow.
Yeah.
She's been humiliated by The Rock. She's been humiliated by Cena, by Ziggler. She's been humiliated by Bobby Lashley. By, you know, like, yeah, just time and time.
But I'm talking about from the fans' point of view, right? Either she was being embarrassed, or she was made out to be the bad guy, or fans that know she can't really wrestle. Sorry, were like, why the fuck is she even here?
Exactly.
I think it's very funny that all of a sudden all these fans are coming out of nowhere to defend Lana, because this is WWE's being really mean to her now. Like, they're doing this, they're being so spiteful and whatever. And it's like, okay, so because you have a bias for AEW, and there's a guy that's now in AEW, and his wife happens to still work for WWE, and because her storylines are as stupid now as they always have been, your AEW bias is making you now stick up for Lana. Like,
because, like, for me, it's not an AEW bias. For
me,
I get frustrated because it's just Vince being petty yet again. And it's certainly obvious that that's what he's doing.
But this is the thing, though. Like, I don't... If you're going to have somebody completely destroyed by Shayna Baszler and Nia Jax, it's going to be Lana. Because everybody else on that roster, to some large or some small degree, has a fandom that wants to see them do something.
Absolutely. She fits perfectly in that... She's in a unique predicament and in an interesting situation where her getting destroyed is pretty much what she's good at. So it fits. She can put people over in that sense and make them look strong by doing the table jobs. And yeah, I get that. And that's certainly, you know, she would be fitting in this, even if Miro / Rusev was still in the company, that would be her role. It just feels especially petty.
But like it's so funny to me, and maybe you disagree with me, and that's totally cool, but I think it's so funny that all of a sudden there's a lot of, like, you and I...
Outcrying of support, yeah.
Yeah, and it's this fourth string, all Rusev needs to be saved by AEW, which is not really happening because he's a fucking goof. He's one of the guys that was actually pushed better in WWE. I'm sorry, but he was.
Yeah, they took him much more serious in WWE. It's
Say what you want. The guy came.
Years,
the
yeah.
guy had an actual military tank entrance at WrestleMania to fight John fucking Cena.
Yep.
And now he's a little video game poofster, like in the CDE level of the AEW roster.
Pushing his Twitch account and crying about a broken arcade cabinet.
Oh my god, it's so bad. Like.
But no, Lana is that person. I get that. And now the sudden, you know.
But like suddenly it's bad.
Amusing.
It's like she's got this like fifth hand sympathy or fifth hand
Indirect, but yeah.
It is super indirect. Because WWE's bad and AEW's good. We need to defend the honor of Lana. Like, fuck the fuck off.
The honor of Lana and more about just Vince being so insanely petty yet again and focusing on the wrong things.
Okay, then maybe her husband shouldn't have gone on another show and, like, tried to bury the company. Yeah. Now, here's the cool thing, though. Now, that's a shit show.
But AEW doesn't throw shots, remember?
Oh, Jesus fucking Christ. Cody Rhodes is more Triple H than Triple H is. That's all. No, I can't. I can't do AEW tonight. I can't do AEW tonight. It's going to do my fucking head in. Now, the other side. Now, SmackDown is good. Hey! So, the other side
same
is...
Same company, but the other show works.
Yeah.
Explain that.
Well, technically the same company, NXT. If nobody knew that NXT was a WWE product, people would be watching NXT and AEW would be done. Sorry. Just saying. Hot take, putting it out there, moving on. SmackDown is good. And SmackDown is good because you don't have main eventers in there. You don't even really have people that are in title situations right now. You have people in there that I want to see. Now, Bianca Belair drives me nuts. Her gimmick is sort of a little bit Sasha Banks 2.0, but I'm at the point with her that I was with Bryan several years ago. It's not for me, but I know there's enough other people out there that love what she does that if she gets a push, I'll be happy for them. We talked about that a while ago on NXT, yeah. Right? But there's two women on that show that are fucking phenomenal, fucking underused as shit. They were underused in NXT, they were underused on Raw, now they're being underused on SmackDown, and that's Ruby Riott and Liv Morgan.
Yeah, the...
I'm just happy to see them on pay-per-view. Like,
I'm happy that Liv is getting some attention because she's a real fan favorite that they've done nothing with. And that's one of the things I plan on talking about later tonight is Sasha Banks is, like, going off on how excited she is to have all these possible matchups since the draft. She's like, you know, Bianca Belair, Liv Morgan, I don't think I've ever had a singles match with either of them. There's so many, you know, we've not gotten to do much, and these are all fresh matchups. Ruby Riott, I've only had a little taste on SmackDown, and that was back in the day, and I'm so different now.
One thing,
so
at least
she wants to have new feuds.
Yeah, I'm hard pressed to say anything nice about Sasha Banks because I still do think she's a terrible person. But one of the people she apparently has a dream match in mind for is current NXT UK Women's Champion Kaylee Ray, and I wouldn't mind that at all. Like, that actually doesn't sound bad.
Yeah, that'd be a hell of a
like we've done know, title we've done title versus do. We've done title versus title, but we've never managed to include the UK brand because realistically, like, who's watching the UK brand?
I'm still sad yet relieved that NXT is not involved because that was the highlight for me last year. I so thoroughly enjoyed Survivor Series because of NXT's addition, and it wasn't like it was a fantastic pay-per-view. It was better than it.
I would be all right with them doing that. I would be all right with them doing that every couple of years.
Yeah, the only reason they had that though is honestly, I feel, and I don't think many people can prove me mentally wrong. Like, you'll talk me out of believing this. If they didn't get stuck in Saudi on that plane tarmac holdup issue, then and NXT had to save the day on SmackDown, I still don't think we would have gotten NXT on Survivor Series.
I think they were doing it, especially for the women, I think they were trying to set NXT as a brand on par with Raw and SmackDown.
Yeah, have it be its own thing.
Like,
then,
not, like,
or
not
at
have
least
it be...
NXT wouldn't have won Survivor Series. You know, it would have been
maybe.
Either or.
Maybe. I don't think you would have had that women's triple threat as the main event without NXT's involvement.
And certainly not. And that's the thing, too. And really, that's, you know, what it comes down to is they didn't want to have NXT be involved if they weren't going to have them win. They didn't want to. That was, I guess, one of the big arguments for NXT not being involved. That makes sense.
And they had a great two nights that weekend, but they were all hurting by Monday, I'm sure.
Oh, yeah, because, you know, like you said, they had War Games, then Survivor Series, plus they were traveling all over to invade every other show. They were there on Raw, they're on SmackDown, and having NXT be live as well, and that was new to them.
I don't think anybody was having a better weekend that weekend, or sorry, the sort of like the week leading up to it, and then the weekend itself. I don't think anybody had a better weekend than Rhea Ripley that weekend.
Yeah, Keith Lee had a really good weekend too.
Oh yeah, well that is true. That is
certainly
true.
Rhea Ripley had the best weekend because she was just.
We got Kevin Owens with the surprise appearance on War Games.
On War Games. So there was a lot of great moments from both of those shows, and that's why I'm really looking forward to War Games. But talking about Survivor Series,
I do like that War Games has its own weekend this year, though.
Yeah,
I'm not gonna lie.
I like it that it's its own thing.
I do want to ask you, and we're going to talk about this in a couple of weeks when we preview War Games. Do you think, because of the size and scope of what kind of match War Games is, do you think they move NXT into the Thunderdome for a night?
I think they have to. I don't see how it would work in the CWC.
I mean, I don't think you would want to, because even if you could do it, it would cramped.
Look so cramped, and I mean, think about the layout now. The way it is, I don't see where they could put another ring side by side.
I love the layout there now. So
yeah,
take them out for a night. It'll be like in normal times when we go from Full Sail to, say, Barclay Center.
Yeah, and with WWE moving to Tropicana Field, I mean that's a massive space that's bigger than the Amway Center. So
has that been confirmed?
Yes, WWE tweeted it out. So.
Oh, wow. All right.
Well, WWE's public relations team acknowledged it earlier. They're going to the Trop in Tampa Bay as it begins its new residency starting with SmackDown Friday, December 11th. So.
All right. So getting back to the match.
I'm sure they will be able to have that in there, but when is War Games? Is it before that or after?
It's the 6th.
Oh, so it's before that, so they won't be able to. So maybe they'll do it in the Thunderdome itself.
Maybe they'll do it in the Thunderdome, and that'll be the event that breaks the Thunderdome, and that's why they have, in kayfabe, that's why they have to move to
they have to move to a new place. Hey, it could work. But going back to Survivor Series, the thing about this is with these matches, you know, 4 out of 6 of these matches, essentially, I don't want to say don't matter, but they don't really matter. There's no stakes, there's no... besides brand loyalty, because when you have champion versus champion, they're not unifying titles. There's no titles on the line.
See, this
so
is the interesting thing that
somebody loses, you're just going to go back to your show and they're going to move on like it never happened.
This is
I
the interesting thing, and once again, I have to give credit to What Culture for this because they've been sort of driving this home. There's a unique thing with Survivor Series now that they've brought in basically the old bragging rights gimmick. To Survivor Series is we spend the month and we all joke around about how this pay-per-view doesn't matter and how no titles are actually on the line and oh look a bunch of red shirts and a bunch of blue shirts and we talk about how stupid it is, but then on the night it's still a lot of fun, and I think a little bit of that fun comes from there's not very many pay-per-views you go into where it's kind of okay that nothing matters. Like I don't know how to explain what I mean, but it's almost
still,
got a giant house show feel.
Yeah, the brand rivalry is still something fun to see because you don't see both sides unified, acting as one, you know, facing each other often, if ever. So to see those type of matchups that you usually have to wait for a draft or a WrestleMania type idea to happen, you know, something big and special, it's a fun...
Yeah, but they killed that idea. They killed that idea this year by doing the draft like 3 weeks ago.
That's one of the big things, and you know we've said it before. The winning show gets the main event of Mania. The winning show gets an extra draft pick. The winning show gets to sleep with Stephanie. Something. give us something.
The losing show has to sleep with Stephanie.
Sleep with Hunter. Yeah.
Oh, but getting back to sort of on point. The women's team for SmackDown.
I'm not sure who's going to be on the SmackDown side of things for the women to replace the last two. So
I don't think they need to replace anybody because I don't think they have
not
replaced,
but
injured.
Fill in the final two spots. Yeah.
Actually, though, we'd have to say Chelsea Green was supposed to be on that, and then she'd injured herself in her debut, rebroke the same wrist that she apparently broke before. So that's kind of shit on your debut. The only two people I can think of that are going to round out this team is Billie Kay and Natalya. Because, and this is my logic, other people might not agree, I'm not particularly excited about Natty, even though I should, fellow Canadian, whatever. Her whole thing is she tried to qualify, she didn't, she got thrown into another triple threat, tried to qualify, didn't, got herself thrown into another triple threat, tried to qualify, didn't. So that's going to pay off as her, like, sneaking a win some way. I got to believe they're going to put Billie Kay in there just so that Peyton Royce can be like, oh my god, I've got my new partner over here and my old partner over there, and they're going to do some kind of, like, it's people are saying, like, they're going to have an Iconics moment, like the Shield had their moment, and I'm like, that's not the same at all.
Doesn't have the same build, but especially not having an audience, that's going to hurt, too. Because really need the fans to get into these things. But,
my thing is,
who else is left? They have Billie Kay, Tamina,
Bayley,
Tamina Vega anymore.
Bayley,
and Carmella. So I could see Carmella and Billy Kay. I don't see Bayley.
I think both Bayley and Carmella are going to fuck with Sasha in her match. But even
so then
still,
Natalya and Billy Kay? I hope not Tamina. You know, that's a... Yeah.
Every now and then she just sort of pops up in a qualification match, and it's like, okay, you needed somebody to beat because this is the person you want in the match.
Yeah, exactly. So and, who do you think wins here and why? That's my question.
Well, here's the thing, too. We had that match that we talked about on NXT this week, which makes me really, really nervous. I have a feeling Baszler and Jax put Lana through the table before the match even starts.
That was my thought, yeah.
Adam Pearce comes out and says, oh, what the fuck, you need a representative for Raw, and then they bring out Rhea Ripley, and this is how they put her on the main roster. And
ooh, that's a cool idea.
It's not, man. I don't want anybody, especially, like, look at how we're glowing about the women's division in NXT right now. I don't want anybody coming up to the main roster.
It seems like it's a done deal, though.
I don't
They gave her her swan song the other night. I don't want it happening either, but...
But I want her to be the fourth
girl for her. I think that's a pretty good reintroduction to the main roster, because she's already had her introduction back when the Charlotte feud was happening. But
I want her to be the fourth member of Shotzi's team for War Games.
I know.
Because like I said in my review, I gotta believe that team is Shotzi, Ember Moon, Toni Storm, Rhea Ripley. And that's your all-star team.
Yeah, and that kind of writes itself.
Other than the actual champion at the moment, that's your all-star team right there.
And then you have what? Candice LeRae, Indy Hartwell.
Candice, Indy, Dakota Kai, and Gonzalez.
Yeah, that sounds really good.
Oh, fuck. And then you've got the Kings of NXT versus the Undisputed Era. Jesus Christ. I want that pay-per-view to be the one we're talking about right now.
Yeah. I still think that Team Raw is going to win here just because Nia and Shayna have the tag team women's titles. So I think that's going to give them the edge. I think they're going to want the champions to look good. And that'll lead to, you know, obviously Mandy and Dana are going to go after them for revenge. And apparently the Riot Squad want another chance. So
I was going to say, I want to be selfish here. I really want the breakout on this. Like, Liv Morgan as well. I really want the breakout person in this match to be Ruby Riot. Ruby Riot pins one of them to finish off the match, and that's how they get a title shot. Because Ruby Riot and Liv Morgan could be the team that goes back and revisits NXT and gives those titles to, oh, I don't know, Casey Catanzaro and Caden Carter? You know,
someone who actually...
The Young Bucks, but better?
Exemplifies women's tag team wrestling, yeah.
Oh, fuck, bring those titles. Bring those titles to NXT.
Especially when Shayna should be going for the women's title on Raw.
And she should, yeah. And Nia Jax should be holding up the unemployment line.
I was going to say that exact same phrase. So she should be in the unemployment line, so...
Speaking of the 5-on-5 elimination matches, I'm just blitzing through these now. Styles, Lee, Sheamus, Strowman, and not Matt, just Riddle, taking on Rollins, Corbin, Owens, Uso, and one extra person to be established.
It's going to be Big E.
See, I almost want it to be Buddy.
I would be fine with Buddy Murphy, who apparently is getting Buddy back in his name. Good for him. I would be okay with that because it makes sense with him and Seth not being able to coexist on the same team, so that adds a ton of depth right there.
See, here's what I love, though, because you look at that dysfunctional SmackDown team, and I think I just steamrolled over your point. I'm sorry.
No. That was it. That's
because we got Corbin on there, and Corbin is a dick. Corbin found his feet on the main roster. He's one of the few people that actually did that. I would love for, like, Owens, because Owens and Uso have this sort of new issue going on based on the whole Roman Reigns story that we're going to talk about in a second. Rollins and Buddy could take each other out. If Corbin is the sole survivor that wins for Team SmackDown,
that'd be a good solid push for him. Mm-hmm. That would be a good. I'd be okay with that. And here's the thing: both teams are you know, just not getting along. Very destructive. You know, that's the way they've. You know, how could they ever coexist to get the win? You have Captain AJ Styles.
The captain shit on Raw is good. I mean, it's only good because AJ is making it good, but the captain shit on Raw with AJ is so fucking good. And then
I haven't cared for the actual sketches and skits. The only thing that made me laugh is AJ talking to Almost, his bodyguard. Or Almost,
oh my god! Oh my god! Do you speak English?
Yeah, you never asked. I didn't know. You know, that was very funny.
No, I love AJ, and I mean, Riddle's not a giant, but like for the purpose of the point that I'm about to make, I love AJ being the little tiny leader trying to corral this team of monsters, and every time one of them takes a swipe, he's like, come on, guy!
He's just constantly Mr. Persuasive, and yeah.
Like, the way that Johnny Gargano is super overacting in his cheesy heel role right now on NXT, there's a little bit of that in AJ Styles' thing. It's like, I've got this fucking amazing team. I'm going to lead this amazing team, and I'm going to have this great moment. Oh, come on, guys! Like,
last week, they were supposed to air on SmackDown Big E's qualifying match to make it into the SmackDown men's team. Problem was, something ran long. And when they were live, so they cut his match and segment to push it to this week.
Are you kidding, eh?
So the decision was made weeks ago, allegedly, for him to be part of the team. They just wanted to give him his own moment. So apparently that's what's going to happen tomorrow night on SmackDown. So according to Fightful, Big E is already chosen and the final member. I agree with you. I think it should be Buddy. As much as I want to see Big E get a singles push, I prefer more of the storytelling in Survivor Series. And when you got Seth and Buddy fighting, Owens and Jay fighting, now King Corbin with his massive ego that's super overinflated, Tom can go ahead and you know, summon the end of days and try and take out everybody one by one. I think that could be some great storytelling and a way to build Corbin as a legitimate, you know, contender for things on SmackDown. Then you have him go and face, you know, either Sami Zayn for the title, or you can do a heel on heel program there that could be fun. There's a lot of options.
I think you can afford to let Big E simmer a little bit, because it's pretty much written in stone that they're going with the big E push next year. I'm pretty sure he's winning the Rumble. From everything that, like, I'm just looking at it and I'm like, you know what, I wouldn't mind it. Big E finally striking out as a solo guy versus this current version of Roman Reigns that we have.
Problem is, with him still being New Day Big E, I don't want him to just be Kofi 2.0, where they do the same story.
I don't think he will be, because
down, held back, gotta go ahead. Like, it was a great story.
We've already seen more than we saw with Kofi, because Kofi, anytime he tried to be serious, he was just like reaching for that sympathy type of thing, and it went into territory that I just got sick of really quickly. We've seen flashes of Big E being able to be serious. Like, I don't take much away from the little mini feud that he had with Sheamus, but he turned it up a notch and he showed a bit of aggression and whatever, but it didn't go, like, him going serious didn't all of a sudden mean, come on guys, get behind me, when they're definitely already behind him. So I'm already more down for a Big E title push than I was for Kofi. I'm not seeing in its initial stages, it's early days and all that kind of thing, but I'm not seeing the same types of things in the Big E push or the beginning of the Big E push that drove me nuts with Kofi. So I've already got a little bit more hope for that.
Yeah, that makes sense.
It will be interesting to see, though, because if they are throwing him on the team and Usos there, and we are eventually going to a Roman thing, are we going to get an in-between feud between Uso and Big E? Because not only will those matches be great, how much history is there between Big E and the Usos?
Yeah.
Like, you can play that up insanely, and you get a story of two guys that are turning up their intensity for opposite reasons. That could be something you set aside for TLC.
Yeah, that's true.
Just, and not like a typical TLC gimmick title match, but just put them in a street fight. Like, Jey Uso, the way he is right now, versus Big E, the way he's trying to be right now, in a street fight scenario, be fine. Jey Uso is going to give him a better street fight than Sheamus did. Sorry to Sheamus, but it is what it is. I'm intrigued. I think I'm almost more intrigued by that than where it ends up going. But I...
Yeah, probably what we'll get, yeah.
The other thing I will say, as goofy as they both are, Styles trying to be the ringleader of his team, and Rollins kind of putting himself in a similar role without saying it, where somebody immediately needs to walk up to Rollins and be like, you couldn't control a team of two, how are you going to control a team of five? I wouldn't mind if this is one of those Survivor Series matches that gets down to one-on-one, because 5-6 minutes of just AJ Styles versus Seth Rollins is never a bad thing.
No, it's not.
There is a really good match. I don't remember how many years ago it was, and it happened to be at one of the Tribute to the Troops shows, because they were always on opposite shows. They had a random match against each other at a Tribute to the Troops show, and it's really underrated, and I'm going to find it, and I'm going to watch it again.
Yeah, I'll have to check that out, because it sounds damn good. So.
Because other than like when there was a little bit of conversation of, are we going to do the Club versus the Shield, I don't think there's been that much Rollins versus Styles, if you consider how long they've both been there.
There really hasn't.
That'd be a good few. Like, if they ever end up back on the same show again, that would be something that they could knock out. That wouldn't even have to be for a title. You could just throw that on a card.
Yeah, no doubt about it. And they, you can just literally have that at any point in time, and you know you're going to get something great out of it.
Yeah. Kind of like when they, at the last minute, they just kind of randomly threw together Styles and Balor. Like, you could do a similar thing with those two. It'd be fine. Gonna sort of knock through some of the champion versus champion matches. Sami Zayn versus Bobby Lashley. I mean, Zayn is, like, ridiculous friggin' Che Guevara, whatever you want to call him, version of himself, and Lashley's in the Hurt Business, which, out of nowhere, is one of the coolest things on Raw. If Bobby Lashley's sisters are in the audience, I'm done. I'm cashing in all my chips, and I'm just calling it a day. it's gonna be great. I still, as much as the Hurt Business is awesome, I still don't get super excited about Lashley as a singles wrestler. As part of a team, as part of a big multi-person, he definitely has his spot. As a singles guy, I'm not that excited about him in singles matches. Sami Zayn, I'm just happy that he's back. Like, he's been back for a while now, but I'm still just happy that he's back. They've both got the new titles, the new IC title and the new US title, and I think both those titles are gorgeous. They're way better than half the titles on main roster WWE. Not quite as pretty as NXT, but, you know. I got Zayn. I got Zayn. Lashley's part of a big, big, huge, like, long-lasting angle on Raw. He can afford a loss, and it's not for the title.
Notice I stayed quiet intentionally here. I didn't run over you every 3 seconds, because apparently with this match, allegedly anyhow, it's going to be a squash. And Lashley is just going to destroy Sami Zayn, from what I've heard.
Oh, that's so kind of sad.
I was initially going to pick Sami Zayn, and then I thought about it more, and I said, you know, it just seems like with the Hurt Business, they want to really put over Lashley on Raw. So I was going to go with him, and then I heard about the squash match. So I'm going to stick with Bobby Lashley, but it seems like that's the tentative plan for that match.
And see, that's a bummer for me, like, on a principal level, because as much as both the belts are buried, I still see the IC title in way higher prestige than the US title. And that's just wishful thinking at this point, I'm aware. But,
No, I know, and that's the unfortunate side of things, is that I don't want to see a squash match either, because I know both of these two, when they fought before, the storyline was so infuriating that you didn't want to see the match. With the, you know, Bobby's sisters and all that. Yeah. Horrid stuff and him running an obstacle course.
Here's the thing. Here's
but
the
I
thing.
Know they could put on a better fight than a squash match.
I'll put this out to you though, and I'm just thinking like a little bit of fantasy booking. They wanted the U.S. title in the Hurt Business, but say they didn't put it on Lashley. Say they put that U.S. title on Cedric Alexander, and we had this same match.
Yeah.
How fucking good would that be?
Oh, it would have been phenomenal. No doubt, phenomenal.
I just, I find them, you know, we talked in the NXT stuff, it's like, I find it very hard to care about Timothy Thatcher, but now he's about to feud with Ciampa, so there is an opponent that makes me care about Thatcher. When we talked about Halloween Havoc, there's Dexter Lumis, and I really don't give a fuck about Dexter Lumis, but put him in a goofy gimmick match at the Haunted House thing with Cameron Grimes, and it's meant to be fun, put him in the right scenario. I kind of give a shit, and I didn't even really know why. I struggle to come up with a scenario where I care about Lashley as a single competitor.
Yeah.
And that's not to say anything about his ability, because we know what the guy can do.
Absolutely.
They ruined him with the Lana shit a while ago. Like, him being in the Hurt Business, like, standing in the background almost like MVP's Diesel, is an awesome fucking role. But I don't know. I don't know what the solution is for that. And if he was going to squash Zayn, I wish it was him with the IC title, because I don't think the US title is the third title. Obviously, you got your two world titles, then your IC. US took the place of the European title from back in the day, in my opinion, and they've never really done anything to change my opinion on that. So we go from strictly heel versus heel to super babyface versus super babyface with the New Day versus the Street Profits.
Started to like the story too, and then the SmackDown side of things. This is the only thing on SmackDown that I haven't cared for. The very first like interaction they had, where Big E was laughing at the Street Profits. I don't know if you saw that.
Yeah. Oh, I've been watching SmackDown.
Okay.
So if I'm going to sit through Raw, I'm going to sit through SmackDown.
I just didn't know if you saw that specific.
Oh, where they're trying to get information from them, yes, and all that kind of thing.
So I liked the very first iteration we got of that. You know, it was kind of funny, and they're each, you know, they're acting like the New Day, and the Street Profits, you know, are making fun of them, and then New Day is acting like the Street Profits, and okay, that was funny. But then they kept it going, and it just got.
It went a little
too
long.
Too silly, yeah.
It never fell off the rails for me, but it, again, it's one of those things that there's a couple silly things that I like, but I can still pinpoint where I know where other people are going to fall off, and I could see it for sure.
Now, I may not always love the promos that the New Day put out, but you can't deny that their matches are always entertaining. They may not be 10 out of 10 matches, but you're not going to walk away being like, that was a waste of time.
And I think
I've never had that with them.
With the way they split them to the two shows, and obviously Big E's going off to have the success that he's going to have, I think if the Street Profits were going to fight the New Day at all, I think this is the best iteration of the New Day for them to fight.
And with Big E, they didn't even have to take him out of New Day. They could have just gave him, all right, he's got his own music, his own thing. And then if you three are on the same brand or do something together, then he's back, you know, New Day strong. But to have him do his own thing, I don't think would be an issue. Still coming out with the New Day theme and throwing pancakes, like, it's just, that's not working for me.
I don't think that's going to last very much longer, but I think when you have an act.
I hope so. He's his own identity stat.
I think when you have an act that's so liked as the New Day, you have to justify getting rid of it to some fans, right? So when they do come up with a new entrance, a new image for him, they have to convince themselves that this was so good, we finally put New Day on the shelf. Really, really bad comparison. MCU now has the X-Men properties, right? They better be real fucking careful when they recast Wolverine.
Oh, yeah, that's one that people are going to be very, very touchy with.
Yeah, so I really, really sort of off-kilter comparison, but, like, yeah, we all know that Big E needs a revamp, a repackaging, if you want to say it that way. Maybe, you know, some new music or some slightly altered music. Definitely get away from, like, the circus colors and all that type of thing. But because people are so attached to that, for right reasons or wrong reasons, you do have to make sure that what comes next doesn't go off like a wet fart.
Yeah, basically.
You don't want a situation like the first time we heard Keith Lee's new music. So I get
what, that was
so bad, and the fact that it had the same intro.
Church, I got to think of something, you know, like a horror in church. My God, that went over real well. It was bad. His new music is just.
You know what it is?
Number 7.
I don't think it would bug me. I might be alone on this. I want your opinion because you're here co-hosting with me. But I'm really interested in your take on this. I don't think his new music would bug me as much if they didn't stick the beginning of the old music at the front
That's part of it, because you're expecting to hear that great theme that he was rapping through, and it doesn't fit either. It doesn't.
It jumps. It's a jump cut. It's a jump cut. It's like when they did. Remember when they did really.
It doesn't flow at all. So
it's like when they did Hatchet Job tag team music when they had like Show Miz.
Yes.
And it was just like a cut between
both
the two
songs, like when they first did it with Kyrie and Asuka.
See those musics were similar enough.
At least they fit, but I still
that
don't
it kind
like
of worked.
The mashups where they don't make the two songs flow together like they used to do with Kane and X-Pac. Like, they didn't have the beginning of Kane.
Oh, my God, yeah.
And then it went right into X-Pac.
And then X-Pac had Uncle Cracker for a while.
Yeah.
You know the only one that does work, ironically?
They just changed that one word, too, for that song. X-Factor.
Yeah. Because we've talked about him enough already, the only one that has sort of like a mashed up music right now that I actually do legitimately, like, it's not just like I don't hate it, like I actually like it. I like when Corbin became King Corbin, and they infused like that regal sort of sounding music in with his rock entrance, and it sort of fades in and out, but it works, and each one sort of leads into the other, and Corbin is a goofball who I don't think is going anywhere, but his music, it works.
Yeah. I like it with the King theme, too, because it still fits, and it just all-encompassing works together.
And you wouldn't think it would, because it's that regal sort of royal mm-hmm. march music, and then it goes right back into the rock, and it sways back and forth so well, and it shouldn't work, but it does. But then you got, like, Show Miz, the Kairi Asuka thing. I know not everybody liked it. And then right before Kairi Sane left, they did have, like, actual, what do you call it, Kabuki Warrior music.
Yeah, they had their own theme individual to them.
I'm really nervous that they're going to bring up Io Shirai and just put her in Kairi Sane's place because of reasons.
It wouldn't surprise me one bit.
Anyways, who you got, New Day or Profits? I got New Day putting over Profits because New Day literally loses nothing by losing this match.
I'm going to go with the Street Profits on this one.
Fair enough. There is a lot.
Not just to go against you, but...
Yeah.
I honestly feel
like...
I
said Street Profits as well. I said New Day doesn't lose anything by losing.
Yeah, well, I mean, either team... To lose to the New Day is not a bad thing. Especially if they look good in defeat. This is one of those scenarios where you can lose and still look like a winner. WWE
right.
tries to pull that a lot, and it often doesn't work. But you're already a champion, so you're just not the best champion... comparatively speaking, but you're still a champion.
I will say, Street Profits gets a lot more out of beating the New Day than the New
That's
Day gets out of
thought.
Beating them. Yeah,
that's exactly
that's
what
where I'm going.
Is pushing me,
and New Day and New Day's kind of Teflon, like they're kind
yes,
of untouchable.
They lose, it'll help them, but
they could lose for the
New
rest
Day.
Of their careers, and they're still going in the Hall of Fame.
Exactly.
Like
they've earned their legacy.
Yeah,
they've earned their place.
I'm hoping you got something to say about the next one, because before the draft, we saw this match a whole lot, and it's Asuka,
yeah,
Asuka versus Sasha Banks.
I'm not thrilled with it. I'm not happy with this one. I don't care for Asuka as Raw Women's Champ. Since she's had the belt, it's been very sloppy and marred with controversy. I mean, it was supposed to be her and Kairi, then Kairi got injured by Nia and all that. Jazz happened, and from there it just, they were still holding the tag titles, and they lost the tag titles, then she was just given the belt, then she lost the belt due to a weird count out scenario.
It feels like they're doing so much other it feels like they're doing so much other shit in the division
yeah.
in the division on Raw, and you figure Raw being the show that's 3 hours, they could fit in like even just a squash match for the, like, put Asuka in there against Lana for a night, and let Asuka be the one that puts Lana through a table, and then have Nia Jax come out after the fact and be like, no, only I can put her through a table. Bang.
And bring out another table and put her through that. Now, that'd be funny.
I want
like,
Nia
if
Jax...
If it just happens to Asuka puts her through the table in the match, and then Nia comes out upset, so she gets another table from under the ring, sets it up, and puts her through that. Now, that
you know,
would be funny.
You know the Dudleys did, like, the double table stack?
Yeah.
At some point? What I want... Is you know when they do the commentary
tables,
yeah, clear the commentary table off, and then Nia and Baszler just like lift up like the Spanish announce table and put it on top of the English announce, and you do the spot through double commentary tables.
There we go.
And then like you got friggin' what is it like Samoa Joe and Nosferatu and all the other ones there on commentary just like sitting on pieces of broken table. You got Joe. Doing a live stream, he's like, I should be there! Joe's gonna kick my ass one day for the commentary shit, it's fine. I don't get it. We had the same criticism of, or somebody had the same criticism, might have been myself and Guapo. We were talking about Hikaru Shida on AEW, who's great, but it feels like they throw her the title, they every now and then they pan to her and say, look at our champion, isn't she awesome? And then they pull her out of the mothballs when it's time to have a pay-per-view. Asuka isn't quite the same, but it's like she's been more involved in tag team matches with the Team Raw women's team than she has been in building up her own match. And that's bizarre because you figure that like the 5-on-5 is why we watch Survivor Series.
Yes, that's a traditional draw.
But it is a mid-card match. Like, the champions match should supersede that. So why hasn't she been building her thing at all? And Sasha Banks hasn't come over, and Asuka hasn't really gone there very much. There hasn't been any crossover really other than Drew McIntyre, who we're going to talk about in a second. I mean, you know how I feel about both of these wrestlers. I want Asuka to win, but I don't think she's going to.
I see Sasha winning here. I want Sasha to win, actually, just because Sasha has this, you know, record of not being able to retain, even though it's not for the title. Yeah. She lost to
Asuka previously. You're going to get some dweebs on Twitter be like, Sasha Banks needs to win because this is the way.
Yeah,
like,
no.
Fuck off.
It's not the way, but her Mandalorian boob armor says otherwise.
Jesus
so.
Christ. Brings us to the main event, and I am actually, like, it took until last week's SmackDown for me to be like, holy fuck, that's exactly the match I want. Is
I've been wanting this match to Roman and Drew since Hell in a Cell happened, and I've been whining, crying, and bitching.
Okay.
It's been so upsetting not to get this ideal WrestleMania rematch with reversed roles. Roman is now the heel. Drew is now the face. You got a WrestleMania 35 rematch from when Roman returned and beat Drew.
Yep.
Now,
and it's a reversal. This, it's a reversal for the crowd too. It's not just that they happen to switch roles. It's Roman is now doing what we wanted him to do. Drew is. I'm sorry. He's a great heel. Don't get me wrong. But people wanted to get behind Drew.
He's just likable. He's so charismatic that he smiles and you're like, damn, he's just got it. Yeah.
Yep. So they are in storyline what they were the last time they fought, as far as the crowd was concerned. Think about it that way. But, like, I gotta say all the credit in the world to Drew, obviously, because Drew carried Raw for a good portion of the COVID era, considering he won it in Empty Mania.
Yes. His first major win. There's no audience.
It's him and Rhea Ripley. Like, those are the two tragedies of WrestleMania. Everybody else was either inconsequential or somebody that, yeah, it sucks, but, like, they've had Mania moments before. Ripley and Drew McIntyre are the ones that I feel bad for. Ripley making her debut to nobody. Drew McIntyre making his big triumphant return after leaving and going to the Indies and coming back and making good and all that. Those, like, you can't get those moments back. And oh yeah, they're gonna give Drew another championship moment when crowds return and Ripley will get the same thing. But like, your first one was in front of nobody. And hold on.
Yeah, I mean, it was, and that was the problem. There was just no one at all for them to, you know, celebrate or enjoy such a momentous occasion for. Not having that audience hurts wrestling terribly so. They need the audience back desperately, which is why I'm hoping when they move the Thunderdome coming up early December, that actually, you know, turns them to have the ability to add fans. I'm really hoping that's the case when they go ahead and switch things over, because I can see them being able to do so. They can still have the Thunderdome and where they're moving to being so large that it should work out, but anything is possible as far as that goes. But I would like to see some fans at, you know, the Tropicana Field can certainly be social distance enough for them to bring people up and out. I think that would work.
Is Tropicana Field a ball diamond? I'm not familiar.
Yeah.
So,
yes.
Like, there's literally a case of, like, do you just have fans spaced out in the outfield? Like, it's going to look kind of sad in a different way, but at least you'll have some people there.
Yeah, and I mean, it seats 42,000, so they can go ahead and...
I don't know if you've seen the pictures of some concerts that they tried to have in the UK where it's, like, all open field, but, like, there was, like, individual risers in the field, and it's like, this is your spot, so stand there. And it looks really strange, but I mean, if you've got a big open space like a ball diamond, I don't know what they're going to do with that.
Think of the Royal Rumble from this past year.
Oh, yeah.
You know how they had that set up. I'm trying to remember where the hell that was. That was at Minute Maid Park in Houston, I believe.
I love how they use the dugouts as the entrance ways.
Well, that's what they can do. You know, think about it with this. They could set up the stage if they want and have a normal walkout, or they could be creative with this, and I hope that they are.
Well, the thing is, if you think about it, what's it called? What's the place that AEW is doing their little shows in?
Daily's Place.
Daily's Place. It's all fans on one side, because it's like there's a stage behind them, and everybody else is sort of around. So if you make the entire one side of that ball diamond just the entranceway, just to give it the super most grandiose possible feeling you can, and have all the fans on the other side, looking in, or look like a concert bowl type thing.
That could
be something they look into. But anyways, I'm sorry I had to just drop the headsets for a second there. Roman and Drew is like a star power match, and you didn't. Nobody doubts Drew's star power. Nobody doubts this new creation that Roman Reigns is. But you did not feel it until right at the end of SmackDown, after the match with Jey Uso, when they went face-to-face. Even then, the moment that Drew sort of stepped to him and Roman, like, calm as can be, held up his belt and was like, you go get yourself one of these and then we can talk. That was the minute between the two of them.
Yep.
Obviously not on the same level, but that's the moment where it went to as close to the sort of Rock Austin, hey, we're on equal territory vibe as we're going to get in this current era. Like, that's actual star power. That's actual, like, I really want to fucking see this. I don't care who wins, whatever. I think the dynamic is great, too, because Drew goes into this match having to consider the fact that he's got a lot of other enemies waiting in the wings, and Roman goes in knowing that he's got Heyman to back him up, he's got Jey to back him up, potentially he has Jimmy to back him up, they haven't really established that yet. So Roman's got all the help, and Drew's got all the enemies going into this match. Roman has to win. To solidify.
He has to win. There's no way around it. I'd hate to see Drew lose, but Roman's the, I don't want to say star, but he's the lead right now. He's the top. So he has to win here. That really is.
Want to hear something really, really, really awesome that's not going to happen?
you know me. I love fantasy booking and scenarios.
Okay, so let's take a moment to mourn for the very brief Money in the Bank reign of Otis. Can you see these guys beating the ever-loving shit out of each other, you know, to a stalemate almost? Miz comes down with the briefcase. The question on the commentator's minds is, oh my god, who's he about to cash in on? Grabs a mic and announces that because he's the one cashing in and he gets to call the shot, his shot is a triple threat double title match.
There you go.
If you've got a match like this, like Drew like he is right now, Roman like he is right now, and the result of that is Miz walking out as the undisputed WWE champion.
Wow.
We've had a lot of conversation about who can be dicks tonight. You know, Corbin being the sole survivor could be a dick. Baszler putting her own teammate through a table before the match even starts could be a dick. Sami Zayn could come out with Lashley's sisters and be a dick. Banks could show up on the card and be a dick. Miz walking out with both of those titles at the end of the night. Jesus goddamn Christ. Now, I do think potential of after the match is over, a cash in on Drew is quite possible.
You think so?
I was kind.
Because once Roman wins and then he beats the hell out of Drew, I could see that happening.
Well, because Miz, like,
the champ.
Going back to what I was saying,
Why did they put the title on Randy so quick just to throw it back on Drew? Well, that could be wise because they're going to give it to Miz and then he has to go and hunt for it.
Well, they might have just put the belt on Drew because Roman versus Drew was the match they wanted on this night. And you know what? I really didn't want to see Roman versus Randy, so I'll buy that.
I did not want to see that match. We've seen that already ad nauseum to begin with. People are like, oh, we've seen Roman and Drew. Yeah, we have, but Randy's still a heel, so it would have been, you know, boring to not get anything new out of this. And you know how Randy works with those matches. It just didn't sound enticing. This, to me...
I like Randy Orton stellar. Until the bell rings.
Yeah, that's the thing, is matches are just boring as all hell most times. Mm-hmm. Worse than that, it's just, you know, you get the
same annoying moves. Thing about Randy Orton is when he's got a little bit of Lesnar in him.
Yeah.
In the fact that, like, when he decides to give a shit.
Yeah.
Like, he can raise himself up to, like, an untouchable level. But he almost never gives a shit. And I think him not giving a shit is something that he's trying to pass off as a character trope, and it doesn't work when the bell rings. I'm sorry, Edge's return is a better story than Roman Reigns' heel turn, in my opinion. And Edge couldn't make Randy Orton entertaining.
Yeah, and he tried.
But I'm just thinking, like, after that match, there's so many different opportunities. Like, Drew has to worry about interference from Randy. He has to worry that he's on the Fiend's radar. He has to worry about XYZ. He has to worry about the fact that Roman also has backup, and that backup has shown itself capable of being quite brutal, either Roman himself or Jay, or we don't know what Jimmy's doing. So it could be him catching an ass whooping from, like, six different people, and then if Miz comes out after that, you know, whistling past the graveyard with his briefcase and just, like, puts a foot on him or something. Jesus goddamn Christ.
Something. I could picture that and be like, well, that's that.
Yeah. I mean, Roman's winning. It's going to be a fantastic match, but Roman's winning. I think you could set up a rematch. You could set up a... I mean, I'm thinking both of them are going to be champions going into next year, but they could not be. And if they're not, they could have another big run in during the Royal Rumble or something to that effect and set up a one cross-branded match at WrestleMania. They could do a lot of things between these two, but at the same time, I don't want them to run it through too quickly.
No, I wouldn't want them to do that either.
Like, let them touch now and then, like, halfway through next year, like, revisit it. Maybe SummerSlam.
Yeah, that's a good idea.
Like, that's a... Even if neither one of them is a champion by SummerSlam, that's a marquee match for SummerSlam on its own.
Absolutely.
Anything with
Edge would be.
So. I know you got to hop off and do Joe shit in a second. What do we want to say about this Taker farewell thing? Like, do you think it's just him coming out and saying a few words and finally actually, like, saying this is it for real? Or does he come out to do the speech and somebody cuts him off and then we get the next Taker feud leading into WrestleMania next year?
I really genuinely hope not. I hope he's done, and I want to say I think he's done here. I know he still has desires and he wants to come back. I mean, he literally said he has a hard time watching wrestling because he yells at the TV because he thinks that he needs to be back in there and that, it, you know, it gets to him. I get that, and holy shit, you know, I would love to see him be able to wrestle forever until the end of time, but I don't want him being like Hogan or, you know, and plus his body just can't keep up with it.
You know what
he's
I'm saying, honestly?
Hurting, because I don't want to see a piss-poor, you know, shell of the dead man that we're not deserving of seeing, so.
I am biased towards NXT, for anybody that doesn't know.
I don't think so.
No. Okay, I'm not saying he's going to go have a match in NXT.
No, I know that. I was saying I don't think you're biased.
Okay.
I was joking.
I thought you were thinking... Oh, you know,
No, I'm saying I don't think you're biased.
He can get some yellow gear and he can be the Undertakeover. Anyways, moving on. No, but I got nothing. It's tired in here. No, I'm just thinking, like, Taker can't wrestle anymore. Like, the Saudi shows proved that. The match with freaking Goldberg, where he couldn't even blow the hair out of his face, proved that. But, like, is there a bigger resource to young talent than The Undertaker? Other than Shawn Michaels and Triple H.
Yeah.
And Ric Flair. How have they not sucked him into some kind of role at the Performance Center or backstage in NXT?
I believe they've talked about him coaching and things like that, with him getting involved more. So I know he's come down and he's talked to people in the Performance Center and whatnot, but I think maybe just kind of COVID's keeping that being
being
a possibility at this,
like,
point.
We know, you know, Dusty, God rest his soul and all that. Like, he was the promo guy and he had the promo. Every wrestler that's come out of the PC has talked about promo class with Dusty.
Yeah, he ran promo school.
Now, not necessarily promos specifically, but just Undertaker is the greatest creation in the history of WWE. I'm sorry, a lot of people say Hogan. It's not. It's The Undertaker. Like, just as far as, like, I don't know what you would call it, but, like, just in general, the idea of, like, figuring out what your character is and bringing it out. Like, friggin', you know, Professor Calloway with character building class. Like, what the hell, like, better resource could you possibly have?
Yeah, that's true. And they have him for the rest of eternity, so.
Well, because he's already dead.
No, Undertaker, I'm saying. They have him for the rest of eternity, so.
Because he's already dead. Because he's already dead. There's
forever
a,
dead.
There's a COVID joke in there that I'm not going to do because I'm not an asshole.
Wrist in. There's your COVID joke.
Oh, no.
Rest my mask. He's like, come on. I can see Sean throws an arm around him. I'm like, come on, buddy. You come, you coach the kids. We'll throw a women's title on Michelle. It'll all be fine. I'm a terrible person, and this it just got really tired in here really fast. Anyways, so the NXT boys have talked the hell out of Survivor Series. I don't think we have anything else to say. I think you've literally got 1 minute until you need to go step over and do shit with Joe. So why don't you go and tell people where to find you, bud?
Besides the Joe Cronin Show, where we review Raw, SmackDown, AEW, pay-per-views, you name it of wrestling, we're there for it. You can find me on my channel on YouTube, Countdown Ended, and you can also hit me up on Twitter, Countdown Ended. DMs are open. You can go ahead and reach out to me with any views, opinions, questions you have. So, and as always, Spaz, thank you so much for having me on. It's always a great time to talk and hang out with you, and I look forward to doing this again soon, next week.
And hopefully, we're going to be doing stage two of the NXT Women's Division breakdown, if all things work in our favor, etc. And you guys know where to find me, or you wouldn't be here. I've been Spaz, he's been Jake. We are your WWE, I guess, this time. Reality check, subscribe up there, talk down there, start a conversation, keep all these conversations going. Don't be a stranger. I will talk to each and every last one of you right. Yeah, I fucked it up. That's Jake. I'm Spaz. We're out. Bye.